The biblical story we just read, which brings an end to our Christmas season, has a star leading magicians and astrologers from the East, leading them to this newborn child, Jesus. So it's an appropriate reading for today. Today's a church holiday called Epiphany. Epiphany means a revelation, a manifestation, a revealing. And what we celebrate today is that the gift of Jesus is not just for one people in one place at one time, but for all people in all places and times. It's also a good reading for today, Matthew 2, because have you been paying attention to the skies? No? For the first time ever in human history, a spacecraft has landed on the far side, the dark side of the moon. Now, Soviets took pictures of it in 1957, but that was from orbit. Pink Floyd sang about it in the 70s, but now we're there, on the surface. The craft was sent by China's space program, and it was named for a Chinese moon goddess said to dwell there. Chang'e 4 left Earth on December the 8th, and about a month later, it landed on the surface of our celestial neighbor on January 3rd. It released a rover that is now going on the surface of the dark side of the moon, collecting samples and drilling and taking lots of photographs. And one of the mission spokespersons, Yu Guobin, said, "It is human nature to explore the unknown world." Because the far side of the moon is free from radio interference signals from Earth, this probe will fill a gap in low-frequency observation and radio astronomy. From the probe, scientists hope to discover important information about the stars and their origin and the evolution of the nebula. The moon is 250,000 miles away. Also, just before the Chinese landed their craft, NASA had big news. It was New Year's Day when our New Horizons probe phoned home. That transmission confirmed that NASA-sent craft had successfully performed the most distant flyby in history. Thousands of photographs have been transmitted back of a 20-mile-wide bowling pin-shaped piece of rock and ice called Ultima Thule. New Horizons snapped the pictures on the outer edge of the solar system as it barreled past. The probe had to travel through all of the debris and the ice and the rock that's out there at the edge of the solar system, and so there was an anxious 10-hour break in transmission. The woman who was the missions team manager pronounced, "We have a healthy spacecraft," and all of Johns Hopkins University Mission Control burst into joyous applause. Ultima Thule traveled 4 billion miles from the Earth through dwarf planets and space rocks and icy debris, thought to be from the formation of the solar system 4.6 billion years ago. It took 13 years for that spacecraft to go that far. One astrophysicist said, "To me, this is all about the human spirit. Stretching, reaching, discovering where we are, why we're here. What's really exciting," said another, "is to be surprised. We're looking at the basic ingredients of our solar system. They tell us a lot." I like what another astrophysicist said. "There's a bit of all of us on that spacecraft." They had a long journey too, the Magi. A long journey from a distant kingdom east of ancient Israel. "Where is this child who's been born, the king of Israel?" they come asking. "The king of the Jews." Theirs, too, is a journey of observing, discovering, being surprised, changing routes, problem solving, inquiry. I hope the church never stops asking questions. I hope it never does. I hope the church never stops exploring, leaning forward, wondering, asking, stretching, discovering, being willing to take on new information, change directions, adapt, be surprised. There is room for Sabbath rest on the path of discipleship, but there's no place for stagnation, not in the life of faith. We've observed his star, they say. We've come to honor him. Now, clearly, the birth of Jesus has cosmic consequences. If it weren't for the story of the wise men and the star, the birth of Jesus would have been known to a few neighboring shepherds in the fields. Oh, and an innkeeper who had quite a story to tell. But the wise men from distant lands with cosmic significance see something that's for the whole world. A few things about the Magi I find very helpful. Maybe you will too. Like ancient Israel getting to the promised land, they don't go there directly and quickly. They go there in a circuitous route that has some zigs and some zags. And I don't know about you, but that's how I'm making my way to the kingdom of God. Because I was going to be a pro ball player, and then I was going to be a rock musician, and then I was going to be a lawyer, and then I was going to go work. Well, you're not interested. Maybe you've changed majors. Maybe you've changed your mind. Maybe you've changed friends. I need better friends. Maybe you've changed habits, careers, hobbies, beliefs. I ran into this quote I think is good. Graham Greene. If you've abandoned one faith, do not abandon all faith. There's always an alternative to the faith you lose. A faith reformed and always reforming. So once they make it to Jerusalem, these wise men who have journeyed in stages zigzag and taken on different information to help them get there, they realize they're lost. They've made it as far as Jerusalem and now they're lost. So they consult with Herod and Herod consults with his scholars and the scholars consult with their texts. And finally, the wise men make it to Bethlehem, but not without help from the star again. And then, after they praise the child and offer their gifts, dreams enter in and they're guided by a dream not to go back to dangerous King Herod. Apparently, Herod is not too happy about the discovery that there is another king. And you know this if you know your history. Some discoveries are dangerous to the status quo. Galileo knew that all too well. Those Magi had a long journey. They had an extraordinary journey. They were inquirers and explorers. They looked to the celestial signs. They were listening to their dreams. They experienced joy and discovery. They encountered high-stakes politics in the international arena. There were surprises. There was terror. There was fear. There were ancient teachings and danger at every turn. One commentator says, don't think the story is about long ago, far away them. She says this, the story of the Magi, if we're not careful, is a once upon a time story. It doesn't really affect us. The important question for congregations today is, are epiphanies things of the past? Or is God still speaking? Still revealing, still calling, still acting, still guiding light in the world today. Like the Magi long ago, I think you and I would do well as we enter a new year and think about the gift of time and opportunity before us to think about our goals and our dreams and the path we're on for the year before us. Whose star are you following? What have you and what will you hope to discover? Who's traveling with you? What sources of information do you trust as you make your turns, as you navigate the journey? What offering do you bring does the destination look like? What will bring you great joy, which they had when they crossed the finish line and entered the house? Who fears your mission if you're successful? Who will benefit from your mission? What's your greatest dream? I love how, you know, the Magi story is not just about the star and the journey and the scriptures. It's about the dream. Hold fast to dreams, writes Langston Hughes. If dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen like snow. Well, for me, one of the things holidays do is it gives me time to dream, time to step back from the ordinary. What do the gerbils do? And you just take a break from all of that stuff. Now, sometimes it's extra money and extra scissors and wrapping paper and tape and extra travel and all of the extra calories. But it's good to get a time from what's normal and see yourself or see the world or encounter others from a different vantage point, right? Thank God for those kinds of places. George Worth, when he was pastor at First Presbyterian in Atlanta, used to say, what the church needs is for balcony people to speak up. See, balcony people, they sit in a different place and they see things from a different vantage point. That's kind of what holidays do for me anyway, maybe for you. And when you live that kind of into that kind of space, you sometimes get epiphanies, right? That God's still speaking. God's still shining light. God's still communicating and acting and perhaps giving some truths, if we're listening, truths that say, you're more than a cog in the wheel for a company. Epiphanies that say, you're more than what you do. Or epiphanies that teach us my value is not determined by my bank account or my possessions, or maybe most importantly, by what another person says about me or tweets about me or texts about me or posts about me if I hit them all. There's more to life than paying bills. See, we need times and spaces where we can see the bigger picture from the balcony. I'm more than my grades. I'm more than managing a household. I'm more than just fulfilling weekly duties. Joni Mitchell said it beautifully. We are stardust. We are golden. We are billion-year-old carbon, longing to get back to the garden where there is life. It's human nature. It's the human task. It's the human spirit, isn't it, to explore. It's what the Magi are doing. That's what NASA's doing and the Chinese probe. I think there's a little bit of all of us, not just in that probe out there on the outer edges of the universe, but in the Magi. I think there's a little bit of all of us in the Magi. I'm so pleased one of our small groups in church is going to read this book called Faith and Science. I don't know, maybe I knew about it, but somehow in the rush of the holidays, I missed it. I saw one of you walking to start this small group study. I would do well to read it. I didn't get past 10th grade biology. That's about as much science as I've ever learned. But if I could go back to school, what discovery and surprise, what learning is there? Our faith teaches us that God wants to save the world. And science upholds the importance of study and observation and experimentation. I think faith and science can be great partners. Together we can solve Alzheimer's. Together we can get a cure for cancer. Faith and science can help save endangered species or restore health to this planet whose water and air and soil have been polluted by our industrialized living. There are immense challenges before the peoples of this world and the planet itself. But God's on a mission of saving. Well, whatever you do and take home from the story of the Magi today, I hope you don't miss this. They were foreigners. They weren't Jewish. They weren't from Galilee. They weren't citizens of the nation. They were outsiders who didn't know Moses from King David from Isaiah. Magi. They're magicians. They're stargazers. They're a bit wacko, didn't you think? Did you see how they were dressed? Excuse me, David. I mean, what Matthew wants us to know is these are not our people. These are those people who have come. Who invited them to our party? Now, meanwhile, in Matthew's story, insiders like the king, Herod, or like the scribes who study picture, or like the Jewish people in Jesus' own home synagogue in Nazareth, they miss it. Outsiders get it and come. And those we would expect to get it, get what? It was folks from far away, not the insiders, who discover and worship the Christ. There is a lesson in the story today for how the outsiders and the insiders together can work to discover what is true. That no one alone has a monopoly on the truth. Well, it's a new year, and the human spirit says discover and explore, and the Magi remind us that this is through the generations. So I say, rise up, seek the light. That light will guide you from fear and darkness and death, and it will lead you to joy and that destination of peace and life, which God promises as a blessed inheritance. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.